Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Greetings, Guardians, and welcome to, I think, episode 55 of Fireteam Chat. You may notice there's a different voice. We have some special guests, but there's been tons of announcements this week. You're seeing right now, if you're watching, Crimson Doubles. Looks exciting. We'll get to that in a second. But first, introductions. I am here with none other than my name is Bife. What's up, man?
Hey, Fran. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Thank you for being on the show. If you guys notice, it's looking this way. He's off to our right. But here for you. So actually, we should look there.
Yeah, we'll look
this
way.
Confusing. In any event, this is CJ.
This way?
Yeah, you don't have to look anywhere but the camera, Bife. I am here also with CJ, the video guy, Gibson, underscores in that name if you're trying to find him. What's up, CJ?
Not much. Oh, the coin charter. You could also introduce me that way.
That's the what? Different.
The coin charter.
Oh,
the
man, I told the story about passage coins. This is the guy. He shredded like 75 of them. Big player, now a famous IGN producer. He's been dying to get on the show. He's played like 1,200 hours of Trials.
Yes.
Not just Trials.
Not yet.
But Destiny.
It's coming.
It wouldn't
it's
surprise
coming.
Me if it's just as Trials.
It's coming.
Okay, so let's get back to Crimson Doubles, okay? Doing a cool thing on the show this week. I've got my PlayStation piped in. We're going to be playing a little bit of Trials later. James, sorry, Bife, you read the news.
Whatever.
No, I want to call you Bife because I know your real name now. Okay, so Crimson Doubles, big news, finally. Big news in the sense we know what it's about. So what you're seeing on the screen is a little more of, it looks like, shaders and obviously what the tower is going to look like and some of the insignia stuff. So launches on February 9th, and it ends on February 16th. It says, a reminder, 2v2 elimination mode. Now the interesting new part, win 5 rounds against the opposing team to secure a victory. Sounds familiar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about what was announced. James, I'm sure you saw, Bife, the broken heart buff. Can you explain this a little bit? What do you think of it?
So basically, it's kind of an equalization mechanic. When you've got 3 people in Trials of Osiris, and let's face it, this is basically a 2-person Trials of Osiris, it's kind of a little bit easier if you lose one player for 2 people to go off against 3. But if it's 1-on-2, it's way, way trickier to manage, right? So the broken heart buff is basically a balancing mechanic. And what it's going to do is it's going to give you a bonus in recovery. So your shields are going to regenerate faster, and the delay between regenerations is going to be shorter as well. And it's also going to improve your handling. So that's things like how quickly you can aim and swap your weapons. And it's going to give you that kind of little edge, maybe, that will give a better player the ability to sort of win back the match.
Yeah, and so I'm very interested to see, right? They describe it as, put more simply, right, you'll be faster on the draw and much quicker to recover. And the senior designer, Leif, had said, when your teammate dies, you become enraged with the broken heart buff. You will find, when you find yourself alone in the fight, you gain maximum ratings for armor, agility, recovery, and weapon handling speed. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting effect. I don't use hunters. Like, is that what Golden Gun feels like?
Yeah, I mean, in general, there's certain abilities that allow you to do that, but those boots and stuff. But where do I cast the oversoul? I hear the word enrage and I get excited. It's like, but yeah, no, it seems pretty cool. I mean, hunters typically are the fastest, you know, one with their agility and stuff. So if you're not a hunter, you know, it's definitely probably a little bit of experience.
So before we get into maybe what we think of how that's going to affect gameplay, like you were getting at, Bife, we should also mention some of the other important stuff that comes along with this. There are rewards. Candy's back.
Gear.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, no raisins. But it looks like you'll be able to get some Valentine hearts. I'm hoping that they say stuff and are not just the insignia, but there's like little messages on them randomly. That would be fun. I doubt that the texture designers wanted to go through that much work, but we'll see. It looks like you can get yourself a nice pink ghost. The other one looks just like brown.
Chocolate.
A little chocolatey ghost.
Oh, it's a chocolate man, come on.
Valentine's
How did
Day.
I miss that?
Come on.
It's duh, it's chocolate ghost. But some cool new shaders, potentially. Haven't really seen them in action yet, but I love shaders, so I'm all about getting that reward. And they have this thing over here they call Crimson Connect that we're looking at. When a Guardian consumes a Crimson Candy, they share a Crimson Connection with all the other members in their current fire team that boosts experience gain on all equipped weapons for 30 minutes.
How sweet.
Yeah, I have no use for that for the most part. Do you guys?
Yeah.
No.
At this point.
Capped out.
That's probably just for the new players. Well, actually, I take that. No, it's weapons only. I was going to say, if it was like all equipment, maybe like a ghost that you've just gotten could get it, but I don't know. This is kind of just for the new players.
Good point. The ghosts are on the weapon side. Does it touch that? I don't know.
That's a fair point, man.
Yeah, but really nice part about this, actually. 320 ghosts will drop. Okay. Did you guys get your 320 ghosts yet?
No.
Yes. I am someone who is hated almost universally by his fire team. First time I did King's Fall Hard, I got a 320 ghost.
Oh,
man. All right. It was nice talking to you.
Click.
You're out.
319. I'm 319. So it's like they're just toying with me.
That's pretty good. That's the sad part. I've had a 315, I think, since my first hard raid. So anyway, much like you saw with SRL. Much like you saw with that, we can get a 320 drop. So that is an exciting part of this, I think. I mean, I'm sure you guys agree, right?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I would have had a lesser ghost, maybe. I'd be more excited. 319.
Okay, well, you know, nice to have that problem. I'm dying to get one, so
all right.
I have a heck of a reason. I still never got a 320 helmet, actually, so...
Oh, I'm in that boat, too. Every single hard mode challenge is just weapons, weapons, weapons. Armor at all.
What's your highest level helmet for you two?
For me, it's 318 on my Warlock.
Okay.
I'm just sitting here, just, you know, stuck permanently forever, 318.
I know. Till SRL comes back, probably. Or you get that drop.
I'm 318 total light, but highest helmet's 315.
Yeah.
And I actually got that as a silver tier trials drop.
Oh, that's pretty good trials drop.
Yeah, you know, rare. Mm,
you didn't get that Water Star 302.
Oh, I've gotten that Water Star 308, like 10 of them. I shard those per day, so.
Okay, so something else cool that is very interesting and always a fun topic is the Eververse is getting restocked. So... Yeah, what they're saying here, right? Tess Evers is back, and they said you can get down with new awkward and strange dances. It's giving a secret greeting or a fist bump to your Crimson Doubles partner, or charm potential new friends in the tower. And they have at the bottom like 5 emotes. Now, we don't know if that's all of them. We don't know if it's, you know, a fraction. But, Bife, you noticed something interesting.
Oh, yeah. I'd say it would be unfair to call it just me, like... Half the internet noticed. The Titan in the picture that's dancing, there is no pose anywhere near as awkward as that on the internet except for Drake's hotline bling.
It's true.
So
what I love about it, we talked about it. Yeah. We were like, of course, everybody talked about it. It's not a unique idea, but I would love it if it's that. I mean, it's got to be. So I'm actually pretty excited about that one.
100%.
I'm almost more excited about the fist bump thing, though. So, I don't know. Fist bumping's fun stuff. And we haven't quite figured out the other ones. One is sort of like, I don't know if it's like, come on, give me a hug. Like, come here. I don't really know. And what do you think this last one is?
The red one? The blue one?
It looks like it's like, you know, it's like the one with the hands, like, right over the shoulder. Maybe. Yeah, the blue one.
I'm not going to imitate emotes on stream. I'm not ready to make a fool of
myself. Maybe it's one of those, like, it's one of those cheering. Yeah. It's a fake subtle cheer. That's what I'm going with.
Just a cheer.
Yeah.
Maybe. Because it's not like as lovey-dovey as some of
Just like a humorous cheer. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, it could be a Valentine's Day, aw.
Maybe.
There you go.
Like an aw. That's interesting. Well, let's get back to the important part at hand. And by the way, quick apologies to PvE players. I've gotten a lot of feedback from everyone, obviously, and like, hey, when are you guys going to talk about PvE? But a lot of the updates, right? SRL, Trials, oh, yeah. Iron Banner. It's unfortunate there's not a ton to talk about right now. But we hear you, right? So, Bife, what do you think really of the balance here? Are you worried? Are you excited? Not interested? Where are you at with this?
Leaning on the side of not as interested as I could be. I was really hoping for some more PvE-related stuff when it came to this. But you know what? It's something. If I need another... I kind of do need another couple of 320 Ghost shells for my other characters. It could... Like, I could use it, right? And I want to go ahead and experience it just because it's something new to do in Destiny. So I'll try it out for sure. Okay. As for how the mechanics balance out, I don't think it's going to be ridiculously overpowered, right? Because... 2-on-1, even when the player has max agility, armor, and recovery, it's still very much stacked in the favor of the two players.
Yeah.
So, I really don't see this being a huge advantage for anybody unless it's somebody who's a little bit more skilled than their partner and just generally is maybe the most skilled player in the match. So, I don't know, if you've got one of those really fantastic Sherpas that just brings people to the lighthouse every week and they get it whilst they're trying to carry somebody through Crimson Doubles, then sure, you know, maybe they'll get the round one.
Yep. CJ, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say because agility sometimes plays a big part when you're tracking people in Crucible when you're playing them one-on-one. So I think that's the piece of the puzzle, like multi-tool, when you have that weapon and people are just strafing a little quicker or moving faster. It might be one of those things that's just a difference maker. So it's hard to say 1v2 might actually be maybe more advantageous in a way in certain situations. But yeah, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, I mean, like for me, I'm not, I don't know, like, In their own ways, all the modes seem kind of imbalanced, right? I mean, there's always something. You know, you're either getting team shot over the rift, or getting team shot in the hallway in Trials, or
sniped.
Yeah,
or sniped.
Well, that's what I mean, like sniped team shots. But I guess my point is there's always something. I'm a sucker for like cool particle effects and visuals, and you know, you look at this like this enraged like your partner is dead. So I'm kind of excited to like just. Like flame up like that and like be in this mode where you're like rushing around with that effect.
So you know what I just realized?
Yeah.
Do you reckon that with max armor, Sunbreakers could survive the sniper shot again? Because it's not technically the same thing. It's damage reduction. But do you reckon that it would give them enough health to survive the one-hit kill sniper rifle headshots?
Wait, the
Sunbreaker Titans, man.
Oh, that this would.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you reckon? I'm honestly not sure I'm asking, but...
Yeah. Well, you can get away from them now anyway.
It's true, but...
Oh,
I mean,
I see what you're saying, that it's going to buff
think
them.
Think about how crazy broken that would be.
You're saying if it buffs the Sunbreaker itself.
Yeah, if it takes into account that armor. I don't know.
Good point.
It is separate, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. I have a feeling that you're super if you use it while in this mode. Great point.
Yeah.
Will probably not interfere with each other, right?
Well, it's like Rift when you
that'd be
catch
crazy.
A spark and you can't use your super. Yeah, so it's got to be maybe something like that where there's a limitation of it. But no, that would seem to... Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that plays out, actually.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. But quite honestly, I'm excited for the mode. But there's this downside of, like, then I'm just playing with, like, one person. But, you know, like, meaning you're not playing with six of your team that you're so used to developing. I mean, you can switch partners and get around, you know? But I don't know, what do you guys think of? Are you worried that it's like more limited, that you can only play with one person?
I think it's awesome because when you go in with 2v2, you're waiting for that moment. Do you know what I mean? It's different when you're playing 6v6. If you're going in 2v2 and somebody goes down, you're expecting that moment. I mean, those moments sometimes are the awesome moments where you're like, okay, I got it. And mentally you feel that way in Trials and in, you know, 6v, not so much in 6v6, but in Trials. And those moments really do make the games. And even your teammates watching you in that mode, I mean, I've been that guy. Yeah. And I've been, you know, on the receiving end where you watch people and you're like, how on earth did that guy just take 1v3 and make it the best play I've ever
exciting.
Seen? So I think it'll add a lot of excitement from that standpoint. So.
Bife, what about you? If you had to review without having played it yet, this mode, based on what you know, give us your review.
Again, slightly disappointed because it's not PvE stuff, but I mean, you're completely correct when you guys say that it's one of those sort of game modes that could create those epic moments. I mean, I've had moments where I've clutched it and killed three dudes on a Trials ticket so that we can get one of our winning games. I've had those crazy times when a friend of mine, despite all odds and having no health, has come back and just scored crazy collateral headshots or something like that so that they can win the round. You know, the moments like that are fantastic to have. Whether this is going to be good enough, I don't know, because in a certain sense, it is kind of just like trials, but over the week and with one less person. And it's going to be a different experience for sure because of that, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I genuinely can't make a review like this until I play it. So I'm going to go jump in and see what happens.
That's fair, obviously. Yeah, I mean, I don't think they know either. Like, something in here could be broken even, right? Like, you know, like Sunbreaker, they didn't anticipate. And like, I'm thinking, I play with some people who are exceptionally good versus me. And like, will I get to the point where I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to die so you can go wreck shop, because like, you can blink your way in there and just kill people for me. You know, like if you're playing with someone like Luminosity or something like that, like, is that going to basically be like, his teammate will just let him go and he'll just carry everyone through. Yeah. But who knows? I mean, I think maybe it's designed that way. If you want to take that risk, cool. But I'm sure, like you said before, Bife, that 2v1 is always a pretty good advantage. And also, you can spread out. I mean, you can hide.
Oh, yeah.
Think about that. Like, it's not as simple as, like, I'm on fire. Like, you can, like, try to hide from them, snipe them, and, like, you're going to get intel from you know, the person who's down.
Yeah.
So,
and if you wait till that capture point happens, if there are maps like that.
Oh, right.
You know, that 2v1 situation where you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to have two guys flock to a capture point. I'm just going to stand back and wait for them to jump in there. Boom.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be pretty easy.
You make a good point, too. Is it going to have that? Probably. They're going to have to end the match. So do I just wait and I'll jump in super powered against two?
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to be cool to see. I'm excited. There's something new to play, but you know, I think like we've seen with most events, it's like, it's nice. It's not supposed to be the Dark Below or a big, huge release. Like you said, we want PvE. We want more. I think let's talk about that just for a second. Like, it's fun and all, but everybody's saying it, right? We're dying right now. There's
exactly.
not enough content,
Give
right?
Give us content. Simple as that.
Yeah. When do you, at this point, where are you at on that, Bife and CJ? Like, are you guys ready to bounce to Division if it's awesome, you know, when it comes out, or new games, take a break? Or are you like, you've got a routine, you're fine? I mean, Bife, obviously you got to constantly, but meaning, are you kind of getting to a point where there's a change, or, and when do you expect content?
I expect content at that next big update, the game changing thing that's apparently the whatever's coming later this year, the quote-unquote biggest thing since the launch of The Taken King.
Mm-hmm.
For me, though, I mean, I am starting to really... I mean, that Division beta, I played some of it this afternoon, and I'm looking on it quite favorably, you know? It's no Destiny, it's completely different, and people say that you can compare the two, and I don't think you really can, but, you know, I'm sitting here and I have a whole load of other games surrounding me that I could be playing, and, of course, could be making videos on. So,
yeah.
I mean, it gets tougher and tougher every day. But the good thing is that we've got news coming out about Destiny almost constantly. So even whilst I was, you know, I made my first Division video ever this afternoon, and then I realized that I couldn't actually upload that because I wanted to put something out about Crimson Days because we had information that we could share. So, you know, all of a sudden it's got this weird Destiny thing, right? Like, you try and move away from the game, but it keeps pulling you back in.
Yeah.
You know, it has you on a hook, and it will just reel you back in.
Let me just look up the definition for addiction here.
There it is.
Seriously, right? Okay, let's move on to our next topic. Iron Banner came out. It's the Rift, new game mode. I decided to kick things off this week with a little poll on that front. So I polled, you know, the IGN community out there, and here are the results that we've got so far. It's still a few more days left to vote. If you're listening to this over the weekend and get a chance to play, feel free to vote. But it's been pretty unanimous since the beginning. Control capturing about 51%, Clash capturing about 30%, and Rift 19%. So I don't think anyone's surprised that Rift's at the bottom, but 20%? I mean, how did you expect that, Bife? And I've got CJ playing. So he's going to kind of provide some game footage. He might get a little distracted, but the idea was that I have something to watch on top of this.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what's crazy? I actually, I polled people using straw poll on Twitter at the very beginning, and I got, I kid you not, the exact same numbers.
Really?
In percentile. I'm not even joking.
Wow.
So
interesting.
Accurate. That's what's kind of scary about it. Personally, I'm one of those people that actually really, really likes Rift, but only in the context of having a team. And I think that's, like, the biggest problem this highlights with Iron Banner, as always, yeah, people like Control, people like Clash, but more often than not, when you're going into Iron Banner, you need to have a team in order to succeed. You can't go in and solo it. You've got to make sure that you have someone on your team that you trust. Go in with your raid team, go in with any number of people, and the experience becomes much better, as is the case with so many things in Destiny, right?
Would
but
you think,
if you go solo, it's terrible.
Mm-hmm. What do you think the best parts about Rift are for Iron Banner, if any, or and the worst parts?
I think the worst part is the fact that because you've got your set sides on each map, it tends to be a little bit more spawn campy. So if a team has just done a humongous push in, let's say somebody's gone Stormcaller and got a Breaker and four people are down, the other two are kind of rushing to get it, they score anyway, the enemy team can just sort of hang around in the base and basically mop them up for another couple of 30 seconds. And potentially then, just while they pull back, they can grab the next spark, reform, and push again. And it's a problem that only really happens if you're steamrolling in Rift anyway.
Yeah.
But it becomes this really nasty experience for the people who are, you know, being spawn trapped in the base. And, you know, Rift does do an okay job of it because it'll spawn them, sort of the team that's getting attacked, you know, behind the defenders and a little closer to the spark so that they can, you know, clear out the base and push back and it'll be even again.
Yeah.
But even so, that's one of the worst things. Best thing, though, is that it's encouraging objective play. You know, in Control, you can all sort of... I mean, I go in with my guys in Peasant Guard and we just sort of sit down and we're like, okay, look, just go ahead, focus on these two zones. No real tactics for the rest of the game aside from make sure you're killing the mats.
Yeah.
With Rift, there's so much more tactics on the front of save your super, wait for the push, make sure you can repel the enemy, and when everything comes together, it feels so good.
Yeah.
Like dunking a spark and killing three people,
yeah,
and then watching your teammate roll in with a golden gun and get like a triple down himself, and then everybody pulling back and you know, realizing that you're like 8,000 points up or something. That feels awesome.
It does. Yeah, CJ is just about that right now. yeah.
I will say about Riff, I mean, when you're each game mode kind of gives a different feel to a level, so it is one of those things where they're calling it seen enough here. But there's something odd about how every game mode makes you play different ways per level. Like Trials did that, and you played certain levels, and you're like, wow, I didn't know this location or this line, and now Riff's doing the same thing. I played a bunch of different games last night. And Titan bubbling over top of your own Rift is a new thing. And I ran into that probably about
bubble
four times last time. And I was like, oh my gosh, go away.
But the Bubble Brothers.
Yeah, this, you know what that's all about. But yeah, it's hard. And so that's the cool part about maybe, you know, whereas people are obviously not excited about Rift in comparison to other game types. But it is neat to see it on a context of, you know, your levels play into account. It's a new game mode. Mm-hmm. Different, you know, year two maps included. So yeah, it's good.
I'm going back. And by the way, CJ, thank you for playing on my account.
No,
I didn't plan that at all.
KD ratio. At all.
That FM3 getting that 9.0 KD ratio. Thanks, CJ. And he was doing the podcast.
That's
not
right.
Bad. So yeah, I'm going back to what I said on the first, the first time we were talking about it last week before we played it. And I'm like, dude, let's just play it. Like, it's something new. But now you really do see, and we got some feedback that I want to read over in the Fireteam Chat podcast group, but you definitely see, like you're talking about, there's great parts and bad parts, and like sometimes I'd go in by myself, and it just kind of sucks. And it sucks when you're getting steamrolled, too. It's not fun.
Oh, yeah.
You're basically, it feels to me like I'm going and I'm jumping into the furnace, and I keep getting, like, you know, a new life, and I'm literally just repeatedly doing that. And so that, you know, when you're not on a team, that really can take its toll. So you got to get out there and find some teammates to make it better. And you got to talk to each other. You just have to.
There's
no
gotta way. Be communication.
But I do.
I actually. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say the one other thing that I think is what's really sets Rift apart from all of these things is if you're like 3,000 points down in Control or Clash, the game is done. You know, you've lost. But in Rift, that is the difference of a single point scored. So really, I mean, that's another thing that I think a lot of players can gravitate towards is the fact that even if you join into a game and your team is a couple of thousand points down, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
You can still really easily pull that game back and crush the enemy.
Yeah.
So good.
I also like some of the potential cheaper, albeit teamwork, that you can do as teammates. Like when you have to get like 2,500 points, they're just like, grab the spark, and they're protecting you just to get some points. And like, it's weird because that changed the game a bit. Like the objective in those moments is protect your teammate. I was playing with a team, this guy Filth and Fury that I played with last night, and it was nice to kind of experience some of that too. So I like Rift overall. but definitely I don't want to see it a ton. This only comes back once a month, and I feel like, yeah, I feel like after, you know, day or two, okay, cool, glad I tried it, but I kind of want to play the other modes. So let's read a little feedback. I think, segue, you know, one of the really interesting things I read was one guy here, Adnan Levatic, said, why not make it a mix where it rotates to a random game mode? Or every day, it's either Control, and then Rift, and then Clash. What do you guys think of a rotational per-day approach, maybe? And if it did rotate, how would you want it to rotate? Bife, why don't you go first?
I don't know if I'd like a rotation thing.
Really?
I think, honestly, like, the reason I say that is because whenever somebody says, hey, we're going to do this one day and something else the next, and it's two things that you really can't compare, but both have their own kind of major assets to them, like, in this case, Control, Clash, and Rift.
Yeah.
For me, I just sort of say, why not give us a choice of all three on every day of the week? And, you know, obviously the... Yeah, exactly.
Like, you can choose which banner you wanted to join?
Yeah, exactly. You know, go into your own separate sub-menu up the top of the Crucible thing, you select Iron Banner, and it's like, hey, you want Clash, Control, or Rift? And I mean, obviously the problem is connections and player populations in each particular playlist. But still, I mean, offering players choice is often the better route to take, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we all want. I mean, CJ, what do you think? If it's going to rotate, like, do you want just random? Do you want, like he said, to pick if you could? Like...
Yeah, I mean, I think they did that with Trials on a level standpoint, where that one time where they gave you different levels in Trials, which doesn't normally happen, and that was kind of cool. But some people liked it because it gave them various levels to try. Other people were like, oh, I want to get good at one specific level. So I think from a standpoint of just the experience of something new with Rift is nice, but... yeah, I mean, Control still does kind of feel like, you know, the mode for, you know, that level enable. So
I think so. Raul Meza on the group also had said, I like all three modes, but I would love to see zone control. There are too many tryhards in Control who only worry about their KD and not the objective. I mean, going back to what you said before, Bife, do you think that could be cool, or does that take away something for you? You know, if you can't, gosh, like, meaning you like that high score based on the KD,
I mean,
you know?
I'm one of those terrible D-bag players. I wouldn't say I'm, like, total tryhard, you know? I will play the objective if needs be, but, you know, for me, it's a thing about the Iron Banner is that it's very much a thing of you are very specifically being told to defeat enemies. You're being told it's a thing of glory, it's a thing of honor, you know? Like, go ahead and go out there and beat things and prove that you are better than everyone else. And zone control, you know, it can foster that aspect to it, but maybe it's just me. And also, zone control games, you have to consider, they are by far the longest Crucible games out of any experience. It takes ages for one of those to finish, and that's good in some respects. You can get, like, 40 kills in a game if you know what you're doing, which is fun as hell.
Jeez.
And, you know, having the zones constantly flipping, it means that teams can come back if they really work together.
Yeah.
But, I mean, maybe that's the next test.
I wouldn't be surprised
I'd like to see it
if it was just like zone control. Because you saw them throwing it in, it seemed like, maybe it was just me noticing it more, but it seemed more recently zone control was up there, just in the rotation. A couple of last comments, which I think are interesting. Another one said, it was Augie Sanchez here for Rift. I feel like it should be its own event like SRL. Rift is like a sport in Destiny, so they should treat it that way. Make bounties around it, right? We've had some commentaries on that. The bounties don't seem to match up. That's me talking. And then he also went on to say, and get some sporty-looking gear. I mean, they already got teams shaders in the game. That's interesting, like a Rift mode.
You want some of that slender Sparrow gear
yeah,
there.
Everybody does.
Those tights.
One more comment, though, on the positive side. Oliver Abbott said, I was nervous going into Rift this week as a solo player, but I've been having a blast. The encounters are more exciting because there's more on the line. Grabbing, denying, escorting the spark. I like how the action is bottlenecked at one spot. I still vote Control, though, because I love it so much, but I'm down for whatever they throw at me. Obviously, loves the game, was more than happy. Those are the 20%, you know, I think that are out there like, cool, bring it on, I love this game. You know, we're not all as picky as us. So, I think that's that. My basic review of it was, like I said, I was happy for a few days. I liked the rotation idea, personally. I liked Trials when it went to rotation, even though it had some downside. I especially liked the call of, like, a per-day thing. It would give me a reason to think about which days I want to play on. But you would have to think about the experience, because if you're waiting, you know, you're going to get stuck towards the end of probably playing that if you're really, you know, trying to gear up then. So, any final advice, Bife, on have you taken a good look at the weapons this week or anything in Iron Banner? Any Iron Banner advice for the fans out there?
Really, I mean, it goes down to just a few kind of builds out there. Obviously, you're going to be looking at Last Word, Mida, as far as exotic primaries are going. Those two are rocking the Crucible, as you'd expect. Yeah. Thankfully, no Thorn in Iron Banner because of year one level advantages.
Yeah.
We dodged a bullet there.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, you've got Doctrine of Passing is going to be kicking ass. I've seen a few people using pulses, but not nowhere near as many as Old Patch, obviously.
Yeah.
Snipers. Yeah, 1,000 Yard is going to be crazy, as you'd expect, and for obvious reasons. I see a lot of people using shotguns, actually, in Rift as well.
Yeah.
It surprises me, because, like, the meta has really shifted away from those recently, but it's really fantastic just because the bases are all designed around, as one of your viewers and listeners pointed out earlier, those choke points, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really fantastic if you can pull enemies into a close quarter space. I mean, it's very easy just to go from grabbing one particular area and saying, I'm going to hold this down in CQC, to take that and then go straight for the throat on an enemy group that's advancing. You can get easy triple downs doing that. And you don't even need super or grenades or anything.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was rolling out with the shotgun a little bit, and it's because, people are more distracted by that spark and the rift and all. So, like you said, they draw in. They're not always paying attention to sort of behind them, despite the radar being there. And so, I had some good opportunities to get some good kills on that. You can close in. I mean, CJ, you got a good look. You're a fusion rifle fan.
I am.
I know you haven't got it yet, but you thought the fusion looked pretty good from Lord Salad Bar, didn't you?
Looks good. I am waiting for him to serve me up at on level 5. I mean, the actual original roll in it is really good.
It had what roughly?
Oh, it
rifled barrel. Hidden hand and
hidden hand.
I can't remember.
Extra stability, I think. Some of it.
And Hidden Hand was interesting because
Hot Swap, I think, maybe.
Yeah, Hot Swap.
Yeah. You were reminding me that Hidden Hand was better because...
Well, just the way the fusion rifles work, they're not hit scans, so you kind of have to be aiming. So every bit of assistance you can get with fusion rifles is, it's always beneficial. So, it's kind of... I haven't tried it out yet. I'm almost rank 5, so that's where I'm going tonight. And, if I can pick that up, I mean, even if I don't get an actual drop of it, what looks, from the vendor is really good. So.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, we're almost at time for this week's show, but still some last thoughts that you guys forgot and wanted to put in there about either Crimson Doubles, Iron Banner, or you just want to get your say-so of what you want next? I mean,
I'm interested in doubles. I mean, it is kind of, I think, one of these trials things that you're going to have a lot of people getting excited about those 2v1 moments. I think those will dominate YouTubes and plays and stuff like that, for the next little bit, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out the next few days.
Bye.
Honestly, I'm going to play Crimson Doubles. I'm going to sit down and jump into everything that we've got with this week's Iron Banner. I'm really looking forward to getting myself the PlayStation exclusive Bond, actually, for my Warlock.
Me too.
Because who doesn't like Flaming Wolves, That's cool. But no, I mean, really, honestly, the only thought that's running consistently through my Destiny experience is I just want more. I wish I had more PvE experience. At its core, man, it's a good problem to have if you look at it. I mean, we could be at a stage where everybody just hates the game's guts for every single reason. We could be playing something that, is worthy of a 0 out of 10. We're not playing that, but we just want more of it. And that's what's kind of frustrating. So that's my take on it, man.
Yeah, for sure. Actually, I did remember there's one last topic that we have to touch on. I can't believe I almost forgot it. Pete Parsons being promoted to CEO. Harold Ryan stepping out. Any theories on what's going on there? I will say, for starters, very unfortunate and poor timing. And my theory is it was not... just not a comfortable situation, because why, after all of this timing, right? People want more content. Rumors that the big release, Destiny 2, whatever it is now delayed. The whole community really is just there beating them up. Things are broken. It's just not the best time, that you're everything's like awesome. And so out comes news that the president is leaving. And there's no other information, not promoted to a place in Activision, not whatever, and Pete Parsons is now being promoted. So I actually personally think that it wasn't I mean, I don't know Harold, by the way. I don't know the impact that he had on the team there, but I will say I've seen a lot of these types of situations, and normally it's not as simple as, no, you wanted to move on. So that's my theory, purely a theory. What do you think, Bife?
I mean,
the whole situation, really.
I mean, I could, like, pull out a tinfoil hat here and say anything. You're completely correct about the fact that there's turmoil in the community right now. I mean, people are livid for a whole number of reasons. We mentioned lack of content, but also, you know, there's the debacle with matchmaking and how the system was changed from connection to skill. Ultimately, I don't know if that's enough to force a president to resign. I mean, look at the previous debacles Destiny's had. We had the launch of Vanilla Destiny, which was, I mean, let's be brutal about it. With a AAA game that was marketed as heavy as this, it was a little disastrous to see that, but people stuck around. People kept on going, and we didn't see Harold Ryan get... I don't know what to make of it, honestly. And maybe it is the case that this was just the final straw. There's been some indications that they've been poor in a company communication, so maybe that points to it, but my word is as good as anyone's, man. So
yeah, I mean,
we don't know. That's the simple answer. Right?
Absolute speculation. But yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's like, we just don't know exactly, but to me, it does point to something, I don't know, it just doesn't seem right to me, and it does come with that unfortunate timing of rumors, complete rumors, because, you know, I don't have the source, but that communication in the company wasn't right, like you said, that maybe teams were not working well enough together, and that does come from leadership sometimes. So I'm not trying to sully Harold's career. I do not intend that. There's some great fans. There's people who've interviewed and met this man, no doubt, and wish him the best. For certain, but I also love Destiny. Bad timing, that's all I'm going to say. And so hopefully we find out more, and I really want to hear from Pete Parsons. I want him to, like, that's a perfect example where Destiny and this whole Activision monster doesn't quite come together. Why didn't Pete Parsons say a little bit more? Like, why? Mm. Almost nothing really was said, right? Mm. So that's my thoughts on it.
You know, that's probably the one thing that I think, aside from more content, obviously, and getting a roadmap for 2016, that's another thing that Destiny's community really has always cried out for, is please be more consistent. In fact, you know what? I'll say this now because I've had so many opportunities to say it and I've missed it. Bring back the Bungie mail sack. You know, when people used to send in questions and then Bungie would literally pick them out of the mail sack and answer them? That was an amazing way of showing, hey, you have these issues, we're listening to them. Let's go ahead and talk about these on the Bungie Weekly update. See what we can solve here. You know, that is a fantastic way of showing that you're listening to your community. Bungie needs to implement more of that. Bungie needs to show that they're being responsive. And, you know, especially with the quashing rumors thing, squash them faster. It took Activision was the one that squashed the rumor about heavy ammo synthesis. You know, it took Bungie much longer to reach out and say, no, it's not happening. Mm-hmm. Like, control the story. Let us know what's going on. Help us manage our expectations. Talk to us, communicate.
Right.
I can't put it any clearer than that, man.
Well, hey, sometimes that starts at the top too. So maybe things will change now. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe the team felt that they weren't saying enough. But again, I don't know why I'm speculating so much. That I normally am not a rumor monger. I'm telling you, this one was fresh meat for me. It just seems off. So obviously, wish them the best. Can't wait to hear more. That's what we're all saying. We need to hear more. Everybody's saying it. So please.
Content.
Get some news, right? Okay, we got to wrap up today's show. Bife, thank you so much for joining us, taking time. It's like 1 a.m. over there now, I think, or something like that, right?
It's pretty early, but I'm used to it.
It's early for this guy.
He's being kind.
Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
You can go ahead and find me if you just search My Name is Bife in YouTube. Alternatively, the URL is youtube.com/ReachForgeNetwork. I'm also on Twitter at InsideDestiny. And, of course, you can catch me if you want to see more podcasting action on Guardian Radio, which runs, we do it actually streaming it live on Twitch as well as going on iTunes and RSS feeds and whatnot. You can go ahead and find us every single week, Monday night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Guardians of D, right?
The Twitch channel is twitch.tv/guardianradio, if I'm not mistaken. Right. But Guardians of D is our Twitter handle.
That's right. So, yeah. And in fact, that's how I kind of reached out to Mark over there, and he kind of put me in touch with you. You know, I kind of just wanted to collaborate with them. Everybody loves Guardian Radio, as well as, I was going to say, Planet Destiny and all the other folks out there. We like the community that's out there. So thank you for joining us, Bife. CJ, would love to have you back on the show sometime. Destin
Appreciate
will
it.
Be back, though.
Thank you.
And so we'll have to, you know, figure out what's next. Finnegan as well was down. I should have mentioned, sorry, Sean, if you're listening, I should have mentioned you were down there at PAX South, too. I was just like, I was ready to talk about Crimson Double. So one last thing that I wanted to bring up on the show is actually about IGN's app experience. We have been in the Apple TV store, and the new Apple TV is out, but we released an update. We're featured on the store this week, it looks like. So check it out. I got a good feel of that experience. If you've got the new Apple TV, man, it's nice. It's nice watching Fireteam Chat on there, so it's great. Be sure to check out that app and give the app a review if you're on Apple TV, but obviously as it pertains to Fireteam Chat, wherever you're listening or watching, it drop us a review, get in the comments, and thank you guys so much for watching and listening, and we will be back next week as always. And James, we do a little thing here. I don't know if you can time it over Skype. We're gonna give it a shot.
We'll see.
So until next time, Guardians out.
Guardians out.
Yeah, you still were the last one.
The delay. That was great.
No, this
all this... right. Thanks.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.